from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Hello, welcome to the Good Atheist.
Welcome.
No, it was,
I can't
it
do
was
a little
just,
bro.
It was just a little bit corny. That's all. It just wasn't the normal thing. It just wasn't you talking. It was you having some kind of weird voice.
I'm glad you're positive. You're like, this start is terrible, Jay.
No, I'm just saying, well, I'm just asking what's up. Like, are you trying like a new thing? Do you want to get like more like pro? Is that the whole thing? Are you going
to... Well, okay, actually, you know what? This leads me into something I wanted to talk about. And I was just realizing this. I've been working like a dog trying to do the redesign for our other site, fightlinker.com. And one of the things that I realized, and we had talked about this before, was that on that site right now, when you want to listen to our podcasts, there's a button that says radio. And I thought to myself, this ain't radio. I'm like, why do we put radio? Why do we feel the need to call it a radio show? And I was, you know, I began to sort of like think about how podcasting is really developing and changing. But right now it is kind of a dirty word. You know what I mean? Podcast.
Well, a podcast is a dirty word the same way a blog is. And, you write a blog or you podcast. You don't do radio shows because people don't listen to podcasts. They listen to radio shows. And anybody that listens to podcasts is a loser.
Well,
the podcast
is for the hardcore. I mean, awareness of podcasting has been going up steadily, but that has not influenced the
consumption.
The consumption. The consumption has not changed, so it doesn't seem to be bridging beyond the hardcore fans, which is a bit of a shame.
I figure it's pretty simple. It's like this: there are people that live on YouTube and they watch videos and they make videos and this and that. It's just the exact same thing, but with podcasts. Some people listen to fucking radio shows. They have a life where, you know, they can't read on the bus because they got motion sickness or something like that, so they listen to podcasts. And there's a whole bunch of people who fit into that niche of, hey, I need to listen to something. I'm not a huge music fan. So I'm trying to push people into it.
It still surprises me that podcasting still does fairly well. I mean, we do great. I mean, and we've never used 1 minute of advertising money, like time on radio or anything else like that, or on other podcasts. Just word of mouth alone. Still, we do really well.
Yep.
So you have to believe that. I mean, I'm not very aware of how trends seem to happen online, because these are trends that happen online are confusing. You know, like even in blogging now for how long have we been doing this business?
2.5 years.
We don't even understand what the hell it's really still all about. It's just a very gigantic mystery. And I think that podcast represents some of that mystery too, where you say the word podcast and it's a mysterious word, because a lot of people who would look at that are like, I don't know what to expect from a podcast.
I think the word mysterious is too exciting a word to use for the mysteries of podcasts.
Okay, fine. What would you use?
I don't know. It's just
the unknown. Does that sound too enticing as well?
Exactly. Because here's the thing. I don't listen to podcasts outside of our own. Every so often, I try to listen to some other ones that are suggested. I haven't heard any really that are any good. Not to say that ours is really any good either. I can't listen to ours either. But
I can record it, but I can't listen to it.
Just to kind of give you a feeling for it is that I just look at it and I say, oh, how is this one going to be bad and boring and uninteresting?
If you come with a negative attitude, waiting to be bored, you're sure to find that boredom. I mean, even the best shows will have their off nights.
Oh, no, I've gone in looking for some good ones. You know, I've really given it a shot. I haven't really found anything that good yet. So if anybody actually knows of any great podcasts, podcast listeners, share, because I would love to hear.
Yeah. You should share with us. And another thing, too, though, is that when we say great, we mean that you have to combine entertainment and education in a way that will keep me interested. Now, a lot of people that listen to podcasts tend to have this, I don't really mind if it's dry, so long as I'm interested in the subject matter. No, I'm not willing to put up with that. It's got to be as well produced as it is. entertaining. That's why I love Horizon and all that kind of stuff. I'm spoiled, you know? Mm. I'm spoiled. I watch like all kinds of really awesome documentaries and specials and that kind of stuff. So I'm just a little spoiled.
I just like to put it out there that I'm not nearly as snobby as Jake, and I'm interested in just hearing what people think rather than, oh, it's gotta fulfill all of these things as like Horizon and I'm so spoiled.
I am spoiled. All right, let's move on. I wanted to talk about Arizona State Senator Sylvia Allen. Now, I put up a video of her on the site. If you haven't seen it, please go check it out. Basically, the video is her trying to get people to trying to get the Senate in Arizona to approve the mining of uranium for the purposes of nuclear power plants. And as a response to some of the environmental criticism, she replies by saying, "Well, the Earth is old. Well, a whole 6,000 years, much older than any environmental laws." And I just thought it was one of those delicious things, like in general, like that people who believe in the most retardedly unscientific things are still the ones that are trying to promote it once in a while when it fulfills their needs and purposes. You're like, How can you reconcile the idea that the Earth is 6,000 years old with the concept of uranium just as an element? I mean, it's got a half-life of 4.4 billion years. It's how we've determined the age of the Earth. I mean, talk about the ultimate irony, is it not?
You've been going off on this chick pretty hard. Honestly, I think she's honestly just being a pussy about it. You know what I mean? She was basically saying it's over 6,000 years old. So she's not saying it's 6,000. It's saying over. It covers that whole stretch for all of her constituents. Honestly, do you think you're going to catch a politician saying that it's the Earth is a couple billion years
this
old?
This is why it's so embarrassing.
This is the sad thing.
This is the embarrassing thing. This is what I want to talk about. Like, the fact of the matter is that no politician, you're right, no politician even dares fucking talk about it. Well, how old is the Earth? Well, I don't really like to talk about it.
That goes back to the Republican debate where they were asking who believes in evolution and who believes in creationism, and basically, everybody said that God created the Earth like 6,000 years ago. They all put, well, not all of them, but
I think there was three or four of them that did. But you know, one of the guys who didn't, like, because he wasn't there, Ron Paul, because everybody were on it, like every liberalist douche is on his fucking nutsack, and he's also a creationist. He does not believe in evolution. I'm like, he would have lifted up his hand at that, at that debate, but he wasn't there. He was not invited to the big grown-ups table, unfortunately. You know, anyways, that's not something I want to get into. That's the politics of things where you're just like, well, you know, are you a conservative, are you socialist, are you like, these are terrible things, like we've had wars over these, so we're just trying to get along. Like, that's the bad shit.
Well, the unfortunate thing about it really is that Republicans no longer represent Republican values, and lots of Democrats don't really represent Democratic values either. So all of these, like, there's no longer any real Republican Party, no longer any Democratic Party. It's just whatever the policies of the people who are at the front of this party represent, and they all fucking suck. I can understand why everybody's on Ron Paul's nuts, because even though he would run the country into the goddamn ground, at least he seems like he has some ideas that aren't, hey, let's fuck the people.
Actually, his idea that I really liked was that he wanted to reform the banking system, and I supported that idea. I didn't support Ron Paul doing it, but I still supported the idea that in the United States, your banking system is pretty sketchy. I'm like, I don't think most of you really know how it works. I'm like, why is the Fed not a government or institution, but partly a government institution? That's just kind of weird, man. It's the same fucking deal here in Canada. Anyways, this is just sketchy. It's just sketchy. Once you know it, you don't even want to think about it. You're just like, this is horrible. Probably some dark ass shit's going on. I got other fish to fry. I got to fight religion. Talk about fighting religion. I wanted to mention a little bit about the couple. There was a gay couple in Salt Lake City, and they were on a plaza which is actually owned by the church. It's in, like, I think it's downtown.
What is the which church?
The Church of Latter-day Saints. Sorry, the Mormons. And they were hugging, and they gave each other a kiss or something like that. And some security guard asked them to behave appropriately, and then they got into an argument, and they were handcuffed and charged with misdemeanor trespassing as a result. So, interestingly enough, the next day, a huge group decided that they were going to organize a kiss-in just to fucking shove it right in the Latter-day Saints' face of saying, fuck y'all. So they were trying to encourage people, specifically homosexual couples, to come on down, have a kiss in. And I actually thought that was kind of, it's cute, it's quaint, it's fairly benign, but you know, if you're gonna do anything to just kind of shove the finger at them, I say that's a pretty good one.
Here's the thing: doing nothing is a fucking outrage, because when you think about it historically, how we're gonna be able to look back in time, because this is the whole problem, is people are gonna say, well, they were on public or private property, and you could do whatever you want. I'm like, man,
what the fuck is wrong with
like,
you?
Like, what, are we allowed to spray black people with a fire hose on public property? Because, fuck it, sign me up for that. I'll go spray some black people with a hose on my private property. That sounds great. This is the fucking equivalent for what it is.
Well, I tried to argue myself when I mentioned it, saying that I think it's the douchiest thing that you can do is put private property rights over human rights. You know what I mean? They don't trump. You know, this idea, well, on my property I can do whatever the fuck I want to you, is the scariest goddamn notion. Sure, the property is yours. But in a sense, I mean, we lease property and land from one another. We all have a very tentative agreement on how land is divided. It's not really, you know, if you look up in the globe, you don't see any fucking divisions or any borders. These are artificial. We accept them and we agree upon them, but with certain rules. And one of those rules is if you act like there are no human rights just simply because this is your property, then you don't deserve that property, sir. That property should be taken away from you because you're an inhuman douche. You're a fucking inhuman douche.
Man, this is where your little dictator comes out and kind of is like, everybody that disagrees should be crushed.
No, I just think that if you're going to take the attitude, well, it was on my private property, I'm entitled to do whatever I want. And like I said, if it trumps specifically human rights, I'm not saying if someone pisses you off, therefore they're a douche and should be... No, I'm not saying that at all. This isn't in extreme cases, obviously. Let's not use any slippery slope arguments here. But my point is basically saying that is a really poor argument to go around saying, well, it was their property and they asked them to, they were behaving inappropriately. What the fuck are you talking about? What is this concept of inappropriate behavior that people somehow have? Like, am I supposed to behave how you say I should behave under penalty of law? You know, am I not allowed to hug and kiss who the fuck I want? I'm like, get out of my face. Like, this is that essential right to be able to do what I want with myself. You know what I mean? Just because I'm on your property does not give you the right to handcuff me and charge me with trespassing.
Yep.
I mean, the other funny thing, too, is that's that whole plaza, there was a huge debate for years. It raged on for like 3 years in court battles when the city sold that plaza to the Church of Latter-day Saint because it used to be public property. Well, you bet that that's going to come up again, huh? It's like, wow, guess what? When you give that kind of land to a private institution that is a moralizing juggernaut, then maybe, yeah, you're going to find out that you didn't have as many rights as you thought you did.
Well, you know what's kind of funny about it? The way I was reading it, there seemed like a decent amount of complaints back in the day when the land was basically the city's land about the Latter-day Saints basically being gigantic douches with it and constantly proselytizing and stuff like that all around there. So it's
no irony there.
It's gone fucking one direction right to the other. The balance has been met.
What? I don't know. It's like there's an equilibrium somewhere there in general douchiness, I suppose.
But yeah, I'm fucking glad that people came and at least got in their face a little bit about it, because stuff like that, even if there's only a little thing that you can do about it, you gotta do it, you know?
Plus, I think it's just hilarious that when you look at, if you were to go back at it and look at it as sort of like one of the, I'm not going to say it's a pivotal moment, but they're all tiny moments whenever you have a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those movements where you're just like, let's look at what they did, you know, like the whole flower power kind of thing. You know, we took the sides of the damn hippies, didn't we? They won that PR war. The fucking flower and the butt of the gun. I mean, call it cheesy, and of course we all do, but we're like, yes, I agree. Let's do that.
Actually, reading back, I was reading a book on that whole era. The hippies did not win the PR war, but they still kept Nixon from fucking bombing the shit out of a lot of places.
No, I think in the long run they won that war.
Oh, okay.
I think if you look at our... Like, if you look at society now, But the mentality of people, I believe that they've won for the large degree.
But let me tell you what, if you look back on these, well, they won in the future, it means they lost in the past. You're basically making a corrective gesture to say, well, you know, we treated them like dogs all through the 60s and 70s.
Okay, but how would you describe then the situation between the Israelis and the Palestinians? Are the Israelis losing because they had the whole Holocaust? They're kind of winning that whole conflict over there. I'm saying just because you're losing for a while does not mean that you're not winning.
I don't know
the
where that came from. You just hit me in the face with a sled, the Israel-Palestine sledgehammer. I don't know. Like, well, what about this, right? I'm like, okay, I'll shut up. If you want me to shut up, I'll just
shut up. I wasn't trying to punish you. I was just saying that the argument that the battle just didn't stop. I mean, it looked like it stopped, but they may have lost that battle, but they won the war is what I'm trying to argue here. They won the war on peace, dude. They won that war on peace.
Now we want peace. Now the world is a peaceful place. No one desires war anymore.
No, no one desires it except for the very few that are in power that we can't topple off. This leads me to something else I've been wanting to talk about, which is something that's been bugging me as of late. And I keep thinking, like, how old are we going to let politicians be, or at least the people that decide what
Should there be a law in place that says once you hit 70, get out?
Get the fuck out. You know what? Because the generational gaps are huge now. But we're letting this old generation, this old mentality take over. Like, they are still running shit. You know, my dad's fathers are still running shit, and I'm really sick and tired of it. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even have the peaceful hippie generation taking over. Maybe they gave up. I don't know what they did. But the old guys are just keep living longer, and they have really great access to drugs and stuff. We keep on making them live forever. And they're plus, like the emperors in fucking Star Wars, man. They're just not dying.
Plus, well, that's the funny thing, though. The emperor wasn't really old. He was he only looked old because Samuel Jackson blasted him with lightning.
In the face.
Which somehow apparently makes you look old, according to George Lucas. But regardless, I do agree that these are all fucking old people, and it doesn't help that they basically just never show up for work because you don't really have to, apparently.
No, well, that's the perfect old person job, right? You have all the connections you need in your life, you're fucking crooked as hell, and you don't have to go to work. And you get to enjoy all the escort pussy you want
in
government monies.
Here's the beautiful thing about it, though. It is getting better because these people are still dying. So
I'm just trying to say, I'm just wondering when the younger people are going to start stepping up. Like, are we going to do something? I mean, we're talkers, but we're not doers.
I don't know. How old is Barack Obama again? That ain't bad.
I don't know. I still think he's part of that old guard. You know what I mean? Very old guard, or at least if he's not, I mean, you got to play ball.
You know what? Here's the deal. I will admit the shine has come off to a certain degree, but I still think he plays for my fucking team.
No, I don't think he plays for my team at all. Like every article I keep reading about Obama is always he keeps catering to the evangelicals, man, and it is not cool. Let's talk about the Legion of Christ. Actually, this is something I want to talk about because I read a huge article in the Independent.
It was really long. It kept on going and going. At first, I'm like, this is riveting. And then it kept going, and I'm like, this is really long. And by the end, I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
You know what
was
weird about the end? The last three paragraphs looked like they should have been at the top. Like, I don't know if this is an editing issue. Like, they repeated again and near the bottom what had happened. I'm like, we already know. Anyways, I'm not going to suggest that they have any typos. I mean, I think I misspelled, like, three words today that I...
Yeah, you're goddamn awful with typos.
I am awful.
Absolutely awful.
Anyways, my point was that all right, beyond the length of the article, it's actually, you know, I strongly suggest you read the first three quarters of the article.
Oh, I did. I got through. I stopped about the seventh person to be molested or talking about being molested. So at that point, I had my fill. I'm like, I get what the article is saying. The Legion is full of molesters.
Well, the crazy thing about it is the Legion was founded like by a molester, the molester, like a really... I mean, there's been worse. I think there was one guy who was forced to retire, this cardinal. I think he had like something like 2,000 victims. I mean, like just a gigantic juggernaut monster of fucking child molesting. But the main guy, this... I don't even know how I can pronounce this. This Degollado... character. Mm-hmm. Or we'll call him Our Father, because that's apparently what everybody else called him. Now, here's a saintly man, apparently, very close to John Paul II. Like, and the Legion of Christ is kind of like a very ultra-conservative sect. You know, remember like Opus Dei from like Dan Brown, his book,
sure.
Da Vinci Code? Mm. They have the weird albino guy. Well, anyways, they make them look like, you know, pansies.
I know, but these guys aren't like, this is just a fucking, it sounded to me like a Boy Scout adventure troop, basically.
No, but
it's
I mean,
like,
the Opus Dei is the same thing. I mean, their whole thing is to incorporate pain. That's what makes them so scary, because they wear those little chastity thingamajiggies. But I mean, at the same time, like the ultra-conservatism of this particular sect is more towards absolutely monitoring every aspect of how a person lives. You know, like they were touching upon it a little bit.
Yeah,
but
in the article.
Really, the crux of it is they try to control all aspects of how you live, how you eat, what you think, and that's what's so insane about it. That's actually what I would say is the hardcore bit about it. Because if you have just the sadomasochistic element is not that interesting to me. People do that anyways.
Yeah, and plus that whole molesting thing, it's like that's you know, within the Catholic Church it happens, so obviously within the Legion it happens more than you'd think. So that's also to me, I also felt like, geez, it's pretty old hat. We're going to talk about, I mean, how many different ways can we talk about priests molesting kids?
Well, here's one of the things that I wanted to talk about beyond that article, because obviously, like I said, I mean, I strongly recommend you read it to get more. But I didn't want to focus on that. What I wanted to focus on is this idea that is it possible? Like, let's be honest here. Let's ask ourselves honestly: is it possible that the Catholic Church can rid itself of all of the pedophiles and all the problems that it has? Is that possible? Like, that's what I want to ask you.
It would be if they really wanted to, but since they don't, it won't.
You know what? I've been thinking that I don't actually, even if they want to, I don't think they can. Because, look, I have to imagine that people that are in positions of power, like in the Vatican, have a certain degree of security about their position, and usually that comes from knowing dirt about people or all kinds of fucking shit, right? Mm. Like, once you expose one layer of dirt, say pedophilia, you expose all other kinds, because all of a sudden a person's like, if you expose me, I'll expose you for whatever it is that you did, illegitimate daughters or what have you. So the problem here is that all the dirty little secrets are kept. So I don't actually think that there's a conspiracy to keep pedophilia under wraps. I believe actually that people within the church in powerful positions are pedophiles themselves and cannot be removed. They are entrenched and deep. And this guy, this Degollado, is just another example of someone who was in a position, an extremely high position. I mean, his organization had a yearly budget of $400 million. Do you not think that this man is powerful? A congregation of over 70,000 people. Like, this is a vastly powerful man. It's like, when there were allegations in the 1970s about the abuse from a priest within the Vatican, they still didn't do anything. Of course they didn't do anything, because a man like that, he knows too much. You cannot expose these individuals. And I'm like, look, this organization is older than most other, you know, institutions in the world. Do you know how many, like, just imagine, yeah, in 20 years how many controversies you'd have. Multiply but that by 10.
This is too fucking tinfoil, because check this out. If that was the case, then they would still be better at getting rid of all of the pedophiles at the lower level, basically turning them over to make it seem like, hey, the Catholic Church has fucking reformed itself. We got our shit together. Here's a whole bunch of low-level pedophiles. Ta-da. Now we're just going to pretend that nothing else is going on. But that's not even what they're doing either. So it makes me feel like I still do think that if the Catholic Church really wanted to do something, they could. But the truth of the matter is, it's kind of like the CEO of a company says, here's the policy for how we're going to do business. And then you have, what, 200 employees below him, and 150 of them are like, fuck that policy. Now, do you think this policy is going to get anywhere?
I don't know, because here's the thing I don't know, and probably people other than insiders couldn't really tell you about how power really is distributed within the papacy, right? Because obviously, on paper, the Pope is infallible. His authority is driven from his ring. In fact, they destroy the ring when he dies immediately, because nice. That's supposed to be the symbol of it, and it must be destroyed because it's godly. You know, it's like a fucking ring of power, man. It's like, forget Captain Planet's power rings. This is the shit, apparently. Mm. The God connection. Anyways, So that's on paper. But, I mean, there's how many times have Vatican released a statement that probably had nothing to do with what the pontiff thought or whatever? I'm like, obviously, every organization, even though there's a CEO or a president, I mean, most of the time that motherfucker's a figurehead.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, is Benedict really... is that what his name is? Benedict?
Yeah, that's right.
Is Benedict kind of like a... Is he like a Hugh Hefner? He's no longer driving the fucking thing. He's just kind of the figurehead. Or
well, this is the problem, because from what I understand, I mean, obviously the church is divided. It's not a institution that you could say is clear on anything. You know, there's obviously going to be different people that think different things and are pushing different agendas. More conservative, more liberal. You know, there are probably some priests that want, you know, condoms in Africa. It's just that how they decide on the Pope usually has to do, like, at least for the last long while, is that, well, we need a guy that's more conservative. I mean, you could even say that Pope John Paul II was considered to be liberal by those standards.
Oh, yeah, that's the reason that everybody was all over his balls, and that's why everybody hates the fucking emperor we have now, because he is not a liberal man.
But even John Paul, a liberal man, still condemned condom use.
Yeah, no, he was still a douche.
It's innate. But yeah. I mean, I'm willing to believe that there are individuals within the organization that are far more left wing than any of those. They're probably the minority, and there's obviously going to be a certain type of edict. Like, this is what we are doing. This is our policy. And if you disagree with that policy, then you're in big fucking trouble. And I think that at the same time, you know, like, if these people believe in their own shit too, they probably actually think that there is some divine structure to the whole thing too. I mean, there's that other added element. It's not, if a company was like Apple, it would be, you know, sort of like the same idea. This religious messianic figure that basically comes down and tells everybody what to do. You know, but these are rare examples indeed.
You know what's funny about the morality that you must see inside places like this is that everybody is kind of saying, this is what I believe, but that's not how it's really being manifested. The way they go about it is, this is what I believe God's will is. And what a crazy thing to have to basically, instead of trying to think about what would be best, think about what God wants. And I'm like, man, how fucked up is that? How everything has to come from that God side of things, rather than, hey, this is the logical way of things.
Well, I think that's the funny thing about Christianity, because they blame us for not having any kind of moral compass, right? They're like, well, you have no arbiter of morality, therefore how can you be moral? Mm-hmm. I had this one guy who's, you know, arguing with me about it on Twitter. I just said a funny phrase saying that, you know, in the Bible, you're led to believe that man is evil and God is good. But I would argue that if you've read the Old Testament, you believe in the exact opposite, that it is man that is good and God that is evil, because he asks us to do the most evil and vile things. He tells us to murder an entire populace and to kill their any woman that is laid with a man, and to take the women as you want and rape them and do whatever the fuck you want. And these are not something that a very nice man would do. Like, if this is your moral compass, I got to tell you, like, I'm not impressed. But at the same time, you know, like, you can rationalize around that. You can say, well, that's just a story of the old times. And back in the old days, fucking shit like that used to fly. Okay, that's fine. But you can't just suddenly say, can't have it both ways of saying, well, this is just a parable to life, and then suddenly tell me that this is also a moral compass. Because how is an unambiguous story of genocide supposed to be interpreted as a, you know, sort of like a compass of right and wrong? I'm sorry, I'm not. Obviously, no one is using this. This is not a discussion we're having. We're not asking, hey, are people really using the Old Testament in everyday life? The answer is no. The answer is, when they do, they get put in fucking jail. You know, like when you stone your kids for disobeying you, or you kill your neighbor for believing in another god. I mean, these are specific rules that are in the Old Testament. I can give you those, you know, so those passages if you want.
You couldn't, but...
Not from memory.
No, exactly.
not from memory, no. But most of them is in Leviticus, most of it, like the really creepy stuff.
Yeah, the fucking when God had PMS.
When he was telling you sort of like, this is great, because I was reading Leviticus today. I had one of our fans sent us a link to, from this newspaper in Alberta called The Herald. And she was just mentioning that there was a gay pride parade, and it's obviously not going to be a very big parade. But, you know, the newspaper published an article from one of the writers saying this is terrible. You know, it's like The government says they should stay out of our bedroom, but they should still obey his law. And then, like, this is a newspaper article quoting Leviticus 18 and 19. Now, I have the Gideon Bible here that I stole from hotel room, so I decided I was going to read it at that particular passage. And from 18 to 19 just sort of talks about who you could fuck, basically. And the interesting thing about that is all the other stuff that nobody talks about. Like, you cannot sleep with your daughter-in-law. They were like, you can't do that. And I'm like, what? Well, not see. Cool.
Someone tell Let Morgan Freeman, right?
Let me do it. What?
Morgan Freeman is sleeping with his daughter-in-law.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, she's like, oh man, she looks like his great grandkid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Morgan Freeman, I guess. You got yours, bro. You got yours. And you know what? If I was a girl and I was dating Morgan Freeman, I would ask him to narrate sex. And now I'm going to penetrate you with my manhood. And it will feel awesome.
Just fine.
This is the, well, okay, well, maybe that's not going to strike high in girls' fantasies here, but what can you do? Anyways, she pointed to that. It was what she actually was pointing to, other than the article, was the fact that there were at least some encouraging signs in the comments that were saying, like, what the hell is this racist doing writing for your newspaper?
Yeah.
This person is obviously crazy. It's very encouraging when people are doing that, but unfortunately, the paper is still publishing this. it's not only her opinion; it's got the opinion of the editor, of the person who owns it. Probably, they let that shit slide.
It was vetted, and they let it go through.
So that is not so much a positive sign, but hey, positive, for the gay community, I guess. Mm. Although I can't even imagine how it must be like to have a parade in such a place where they're writing and they're quoting scripture, like the worst scripture. Like, again, like I was talking about, when you look at that moral compass, like, give me a break. This is it. This is your moral compass. These are the rules that we have to follow the rest of our lives. They're uninteresting.
I think it's more like something about the eternal sunlight of Jesus Christ making your be good stuff. With your fellow man. but no universal health care.
No. Good God, no. Jesus would not accept universal health care. Are you crazy?
Yeah, and no men kissing men.
It is an abomination, according to Leviticus 19.
Unless they are priests.
It is an abomination. Unless they are priests that one indiscretion once in a while is all good, When you're in a priesthood and there's only other guys, get a little lonely. God won't mind. God wants me to do this. He put these feelings in me. This is another thing that kind of like makes me wonder, like, about the kind of split personality that you must develop if you're really religious and you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's got to really fuck you up, man. I mean, there are some things that'll mess you up, but that specifically, when you're like, how do you deal with that?
Well,
passage?
It depends. I can guarantee you'll find a lot of religious people who are gay. They just don't subscribe to anything because they just don't subscribe to anything relating to how, like, the church, quote unquote, the church. And you can take that for any denomination, how the church views them, and they can be perfectly fine with it. I just feel bad for the ones that are, part of the church, who are gay, and they just, I mean, they're fucked, even if they feel like what they're doing isn't wrong, they are in for a life of feeling shame and just feeling like crap.
I think even the ones that sort of don't necessarily subscribe, I mean, if you're just like a Christian, you're your average Christian, you have that Bible, and you just know that there's those passages because everybody else is talking about it.
I know, but there's a lot of people who are religious who take the Bible the same way that, say, even you and I, which is just complete bullshit, and don't worry about it. There's just a higher power. He's all around us, and he's warm, and he's gooey, and when I die, I'll go somewhere with him.
In his homosexual paradise that he has waiting for me.
Yep. Pretty much. It'll be
I think they should start their own branch, sort of like that Jesus is gay and that, like, all his apostles were, like, gay and that kind of stuff. I'm like, gay guys, man, start your own interpretation of the New Testament.
This is how we can do it. And gay heaven is right next to dog heaven, which is next to human heaven.
Is this the hierarchy? You're an evil man.
I'm just saying how
I thought you were going to support this idea. I am not the one damning
them to hell, okay?
It's very true. Mm. But you know what? Here's the thing. Even in the Old Testament, there's no damnation of hell. Hell doesn't exist in the Old Testament, right? I mean, the only punishment you have in the Old Testament is that you will be away from God. That's it. I mean, that's the punishment. That's what Jews believe. They don't think you go to hell. They just think that you won't be with God. You'll be annihilated. You won't be anything. And I'm like, if that's the price you have to pay, that's not so bad. Everybody be like, it's an abomination, but I don't want your God anyways. He's an unpleasant fellow.
Yeah, hell to me has always been, it's been one of the most constant, it's just, I fucking hate it.
It's, you know what? It is the legacy of the Nazarene, of fucking Jesus. You know, everybody's always like, oh, he's the greatest guy. He gave us this concept. I mean, they stole it from Zoroastrianism, honestly. I mean, that the concept of hell, the good and evil concepts, like, are stronger in Zoroastrianism than they are in the Old Testament.
I have no idea what Zoroastrianism is.
Zoroastrianism was sort of like the big religion of ancient Persia, basically. And it was kind of the belief that there was sort of like a one main god, Ahura Mazda. All right, this was the god. And there was a devil. I actually don't remember the name of the devil. Let's call him Pontiac or General Motors. Anyways, Mazda is named after that god. Like, he purposefully named Mazda based on the Zoroastrian god.
Okay, I got you now.
So Mazda and GM. GM is the devil.
I thought you were trying to be topical or something. I'm like...
No, I'm not trying to be tough.
It's like, yeah, let's talk about car...
Let us not. Exactly. Anyways, so GM is evil, Mazda is good, but the whole thing in Zoroastrianism is that the forces are always fighting, but there's no winner. You know, it's like they're equal in power, and we are part of that struggle. You know, we have an influence on the good and evil. That's our shtick. So the concept of hell is kind of similar, where, you know, sinners go, bad guys go, and it obviously builds the forces of evil, but, you know, the good guys go to heaven, and then we, you know, we war. So the concept of hell is pretty much borrowed from Zoroastrianism, and it's a terrible concept. I mean, other cultures have it too. Buddhism had its own hell, different levels of it too, you know, depending on your crime. Everybody loves to have this sort of fiery, terrible pit where people can just burn. The difference, of course, in Buddhism is that you had a time limit about how long you were going to be tortured. In the New Testament, that you get this, you know, sort
eternal.
Of like eternal, forever. Like, that is the big bummer here. That is the really, you know, when a person tells you Jesus loves you, but you're going to go to hell if you don't love him. And I'm like, really? This hell thing forever? This is great. What a wonderful thing you've taught us. Mm. Really, your moral compass is way, way, way better than mine. Let's take a look again.
Well, hey,
promotes genocides and punishment for eternity.
I don't agree with it either, but I'm just saying that their view on it is they're just telling it like it is, and they don't get to control what happens to us sinners. That's I'm not sure who exactly they blame it. I guess that's, once again, you got God as bad cop and you got Jesus as good cop, you know?
Well,
and that's basically his
yeah, it's like Jesus loves you, but his dad thinks you're a shit.
Yeah, it's the Old Testament bad cop and New Testament good cop is basically kind of how it works.
Well, you know what? I read this, one of our fans wrote this. I thought it was brilliant. He's like, I would rather have questions that I can't answer than answers that I can't question. And I think that everybody should take kind of the same attitude, particularly if you're religious and you're listening to this show for some weird reason. I mean, you should really question the validity of the idea that hell is a fair punishment for the quote-unquote sin of not believing. Because remember, this original sin, the fact that I'm a sinner, is apparently inherited on me. I am born a sinner. Like, that's the whole thing. I am wicked already. And that's a terrible idea. That is just assuming that all human beings are essentially evil and that they have to be brought up in order to be good. And I don't think that's a really positive way to view humanity, honestly. I don't even think it's accurate. I don't think it's accurate at all. I think human beings are mostly good with tints of really terrible and evil. I mean, we all have it within ourselves. Let's not fucking beat around the bush here. We could all kill someone.
Yeah, I'm one 14-day power outage away from hacking someone up with a machete. I tell you what.
14 days of power outage? That's it? I mean, that was the ice storm in Montreal. It lasted 14 days. Are you saying that you would take to the street and hack people?
If I ran out of shit, yes. It's like...
Well, you got nobody to call? I mean...
There's no power, dummy.
In the world?
No power.
In the world.
No one knows what's going on.
It's like no one has the ability to generate power anymore?
I'm just telling you, if 14 days go by and things seem like they're getting bad, then I hope we have a lot of stuff. Otherwise, I will go out and take stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Are you going to take my stuff?
Well, your stuff would already technically be my stuff.
Wait, am I dead by now?
Well, it would be our stuff, but I just assumed that you would share with me, and if you didn't, then you'd be my enemy.
I don't know if I want to share with a murderer. A 14-day-away murderer.
This is ridiculous. We've had conversations about what we would probably have to do to survive some kind of meltdown.
I know, but I didn't think 14 days. I mean, I was going to be fair, man. I was going to give the Earth a whole month to get its shit together. You're giving it 14 days. You're not even giving it half a month.
I was just saying that once it hits the point where we run out of water and food, and that's around probably 2 weeks. It's not like we're prepared for it. So in 2 weeks, you'd have to make that decision. Do I wait around and hope the society comes back, or do I take what I need to survive?
All right, well, you know what? We're going to have to discuss this at a later time. In the meantime, we're going to catch everybody for Friday's show.